And we're seeing a beautiful sunrise. Hope you're enjoying the view. Hope you're enjoying what you're hearing, because we have our friend Steve Moore, author of the great book, GovZilla, author of several great books, come to think of it. And you see him on Fox News all the time, senior fellow Heritage Foundation and chief economist of the John Carlson Show. Steve Moore, I've been waiting to talk to you all week. And here is why. Just a very simple question to get the conversation going. Is the banking challenge, the banking crisis, the banking debacle, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Or is it holding water or treading water?
Hey, John, good to be with you. And boy, what a tumultuous week this has been. I would have to say probably the answer to your question is the latter, that we're not out of the woods yet by any means. This banking crisis has not reached a contagion level, and it looks like it may not, but I can't tell you that 100%. You know, there are a lot of banks that are in trouble because the interest rates have risen so quickly over the last 12 months. Remember, we've had, what, 8-9 interest rate increases by the Fed, which has taken interest rates from like 0.5% to almost 4.5%. So that's a giant increase in interest rates. And a lot of these banks got caught with their pants down. And, you know, when you buy a bond and then the interest rate goes up, you lose money, right? You lose money on it. And so that's one of the reasons that Silicon Valley Bank and others have gone under. So the point I'd like to make to your listeners, though, John, the important one, is that the reason we're seeing this crisis right now is because of the fact that you have a situation where the federal government has been borrowing so many trillions and trillions of dollars that it has led to this, you know, it's the reason the Fed had to raise interest rates. So my point is the proximate cause here is out of control government spending. It's that simple. And until we get the government spending under control, we're going to have more of these crises develop.
I think so. And I think you put your finger on it. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, yesterday in front of Congress was asked about a series of contributing factors. And when one senator suggested deficit spending, she said, oh, no, that's not a reason.
Yeah. And she also said, I mean, I thought it was kind of funny. She said, you know, we got there just in time and we've resolved this crisis. I mean, John, that's like, you know, you're watching your house totally burn down to the ground and then the fire truck arrives. We got here just in time. So I'm so perpetually disappointed in Janet Yellen. I thought she would actually be the one kind of voice of reason in this administration, and she hasn't been. She's been just drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, taking whatever spin the White House puts out. She knows better. And we have a financial crisis in America, which is out of control government spending and debt. And by the way, everyone knows that. When you have a debt that's headed to $50 trillion over the next 10 years, when I came to Washington, the debt was $1.5 trillion. Now it's going to be $50 trillion, and I'm not that old. So, and by the way, she and Biden also said, this isn't going to cost taxpayers a penny. Did you hear that one, John?
Yeah.
I mean, that's laughable. Yeah. Where's the money going to come from? Of course it's going to come from the taxpayers.
The news about several big banks, quote, pumping $30 billion into Republic Bank to save it. What does that mean when banks inject money into when other banks inject money into a struggling bank?
It means that they're worried, doesn't it? It means that they're worried about a contagion effect and they're trying to put out these little brush fires that are happening all over in these smaller banks. Now, look, I want to be crystal clear about one thing, John.
Yeah.
This is important.
Okay.
If you're if you have deposits in a bank, you know, and you're not a billionaire, so if you have, you know, less than $250,000 in a bank, that is fully insured, by the federal government. And I'm pretty libertarian. You're pretty libertarian. But I do support federal FDIC insurance on deposits. And so people shouldn't, you know, we're not going to have bank run, hopefully, where people feel like they got to pull their money out of the banks because it is insured. What I disagree with and strongly oppose is basically, you know, saying that even millionaires and billionaires, you know, who put more than $250,000 in these deposits should be insured, because, you know, the whole idea of federal deposit insurance back in the 1930s was to protect the, you know, the small and middle income mom and pops who had money in the bank, their life savings. It wasn't to protect millionaires and billionaires. And by the way, John, isn't it interesting that this president, who, remember what we were talking about last week about Biden's budget, saying, oh, we're going to sock it to the rich, we're going to punch them in the nose, yeah, or we're going to take more out of them. And then 4 days later, who's he bailing out? The very millionaires and billionaires. It's like there was a very good cartoon I saw the other day where the congressman was explaining to the people, you know, we have to tax the millionaires and billionaires so we can give the money to the millionaires and billionaires.
Well, there's a wonderful analysis of all this. I just did something I have rarely ever do on the John Carlson Show, and that is I read extensively from one article, and it was Kim Strassel's piece in this morning's Wall Street Journal, your old platform, a former editorial board member, where she said that basically through the Inflation Reduction Act and the Infrastructure Act the year before, the Biden administration pumped billions of dollars into a favored industry. The favored industry was the climate control industry.
Right.
Various manifestations, you know, of it. Yeah, I mean, you name it, you know, hydro, wind, solar, waste management, et cetera. And she said, so Silicon Valley Bank was basically following Washington, D.C.'s lead. And this is what happens when the government tries to micromanage the economy saying this is our favorite industry. These are the companies. Well, we're doing the same thing here at the state level with Jay Inslee in Olympia.
Well, yeah. And by the way, Kim is a former colleague of mine, and I love her column. It's a must read every week in the Friday Wall Street Journal. And she's spot on correct. I don't know if you saw my column this week, but I mentioned the fact that about 4 or 5 days ago, there was a big story about how carbon emissions around the world reached an all-time high. Yes. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, we have spent well over $100 billion over the last 10 years, well over $100 billion fighting climate change with all of the, you know, buy electric cars, subsidize the solar industry, the wind industry, blah, 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 all these things. You know, we've given $100 billion to what I call the climate change industrial complex. And yet, after spending that, and by the way, there's $300 billion more in the pipeline. And after spending all that money, the greenhouse gases are higher than ever. So how are these programs working? Does anybody actually think spending all this money has made one iota of difference? And the answer is none, zero. And so then you ask, okay, why is it that the carbon emissions are so high?
Well, two things.
You know the answer, John. China
and India.
Yeah, exactly. So what's going on here? I mean, now we're going to spend another $300 billion? Talk about good dollars chasing bad. Government-directed investment never, never works, and this is a good example of it. And there's a tangent to this story as well, John, which is that the other thing these banks were doing was woke, you know, woke stuff. Like, you know, you saw that. Have you seen that?
The video?
That TV ad they did on with the Signature Bank. If you haven't seen this, folks, you have to go to YouTube and watch this thing. It is... it's not meant to be, but it is hilarious. It looks like, remember that TV show, The Office?
Yes.
It looks like a comedy scene from The Office where these guys are dancing around in the background. We love minorities and we love green energy. And meanwhile, you know, the bank is collapsing. And so, and I'm not saying that woke policies caused the collapse, but I do think all of this focus on racial equity and climate change and so on. They're taking their eye off the ball of running a profitable bank.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they forgot their core principles. They
exactly.
forgot the core reason they exist. That's a very, very good analysis. And it's one reason. They're not the only bank doing it, which is why, as you started this morning's conversation, they're not out of the woods.
And so, look, I think that now the good news is the four biggest banks, including J.P. Morgan and
Bank of America.
Yeah, Bank of America and Wells Fargo. They have, hundreds of billions of dollars of capital. So they're going to be fine. But here's my fear, John. The banks that are failing are a lot of the smaller ones. And all of these federal regulations and rules, and it goes back to, Sarbanes-Oxley and stuff, what they're doing is causing this consolidation.
Mm-hmm.
So community banks are going to, this is my nightmare. Community banks are going to go out of business, and everything's going to be run by this incestuous relationship between big banks, big business, big government. And that's not what we want in this America, because then what do you get? Too big to fail.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't think the government thinks you're too big to fail. I don't think I'm too big to fail. But the big guys who give the big donations and stuff, they are too big to fail.
Often undermines marketplace competition. But let me throw this at you. Kevin O'Leary, who you probably know from the Shark Tank, a very successful investor, he said that the reason why community banks, smaller local banks, are failing isn't because of government, it's because of technology. It's because more and more people just do their banking online, and they don't go to the bank anymore, and it's not as convenient. So the critical function that used to be served by local banks is now being handled online in a more efficient way. What do you think of that line of thinking?
It sounds like I'm not an expert on the banking industry. But there's probably some truth to that. But I don't want to see the demise of small community banks, because you know what? They are community banks. They know what's going on in the community. You
right.
want a small business loan.
Yep.
You want to go to it's like I go back to, It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
What was it that say the building and loan?
You don't want to go to the bank examiner, and you certainly don't want to go to Mr. Potter.
It took the words right out of my mouth.
All right. Steve Moore, great talking as always. Thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Okay, John. Have a great weekend. Take care.
You too. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Steve Moore.